and that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on sunny Saturday Street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover,
water sucks. It really, really sucks. Water sucks.
Crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Thank you, Willie. Willie Nelson, everybody. Good afternoon. Welcome. Oh, I just realized something.
Oh, I know.
It's Thursday the 13th. But we're not scared.
No.
We'll prove it. We're just going to go along like it's not Thursday the 13th. Welcome to the show. This is called the Large Morning Show. In the afternoon, this radio station runs it's called a promo. I've heard it. It talks about the Frank Opinion Show. There's no such show. You'd think they'd know that, but they don't listen. They don't even like us. Well, they don't.
Not even on the promo. That's what's that's what's really upsetting.
Oh,
like you three are on the promo.
Are you kidding?
And I'm not on the promo.
Well, that's not acceptable.
Who wrote that?
I have no idea. They used to sniff it.
Oh my goodness! Hang on. That reminds me of one of the great jokes. Oh shoot! I wonder if we've told it since we've been here. The guy who is a construction worker, and when they get the lunch break, he's all upset because every day he's got a cheese sandwich.
No.
You don't think so?
I remember that one.
Oh, yeah. Hang on here. This is hang on, folks. Thanks for.
This is all live radio.
Got it. Yes, all live preparation as we speak. Good. That'll be the joke today. Thanks for reminding me of that. It is the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. It's Thursday. Thursday is Scott Sherman Day, meaning the 4 o'clock hour. He's all yours. He's an attorney, and he has a terrific way of, I think, many times putting people at ease. They think there's no way to navigate whatever legal waters, and he shows you that there really is. And if he can't handle it, he always sends people to somebody who can. So he'll be here at 4 o'clock hour. And if you are interested in any sort of, I don't know, if you have a situation that you think you'd like to know from an expert whether or not you need to get an attorney involved, that's why Scott's here. So that's always a good hour, and that thing has been a success since it started. We have a segment called the Burke segment, and it starts right now. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
You usually do. Ladies and gentlemen, heir to the Levi Strauss fortune, the one and only Dan Strauss.
Thanks so
much. You're welcome.
Thanks so much, Frank. Last night, we went with another couple and went down to Forest Park.
Good story. That's a good one.
Bill Cleveland.
That's a good one.
Sorry. Went down to Forest Park. They had the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra playing on Art Hill. And then they had fireworks following. And we ended up parking somewhere, and we Ubered over and got dropped off. And there was a cop. As soon as we got dropped off, this cop goes, "You know, there's only 10 minutes left." I said, "Well, I thought they were playing until 8:20. He goes, no, there's 10 minutes left.
You know what you should have said? Why don't you mind your own business, pig?
Jeez.
Wow. I'm kidding.
No.
I'm kidding.
He didn't say that.
It's a joke.
He didn't say
and that. I said, well, and he goes, the fireworks aren't going to be that long either. And I said, oh, okay. Well, thanks for letting us
know. He's looking out for you. That's
thanks for letting us
do.
Know. I know. So we went in, and actually he was wrong. They played till about 8:20. Bill Cleveland was there. He talked about it yesterday. There were so many people there on Art Hill. And
well, look at the weather. I mean,
oh, my goodness.
Could it have been better? No.
And this symphony orchestra is just tremendous.
Yep.
One of the people that was with us, he said, this sounds like a recording. It's like nobody's playing. It's like they're playing a recording. But it was tremendous. And then the fireworks were really cool because we were right under the fireworks. So, but it was the 50th time that the symphony had done this, and I'm sure Bill will have more on it a little bit later. But
all right,
that's what we ended up doing last night.
Okay, so folks, next year you'll know this is a great event.
And then we went and played. We stopped off somewhere and played pool afterwards.
Oh my goodness, I can't remember the last time I did that.
I haven't played pool. I
have a pool table, and but it's different when you go to like a tavern.
Yeah. Oh, it's some. I played pool last week with my dad. Greatest time I've had in years. It was wonderful.
I'm horrible. I used to be halfway decent, but I mean, I have no angles, nothing. No. I am just absolutely horrible.
I'm terrible too.
Dan, how can you even see the balls? You can't even see
the phone
in front of your face. How can you see the pool ball?
Well, say you can't even see your balls in front of your face?
Yeah.
Those aren't his. Those would be somebody else's. Well, you double join him.
You'll have to ask him about that.
Well, and then the problem with that is stripes and solids, and I'm partially colorblind too, so I can't tell what color the balls are. So I'm looking around for the white ball, and I finally find the white ball. And the first game, it was so funny because the first game, the other person knocked the eight ball in. So game over.
Yeah.
But there's like, we had.
But he could have lied to you because you wouldn't have known.
I know.
Oh, I hit the two ball in.
So there were like six balls left on the table.
Was this a tavern or pool hall?
Yeah, it was like a restaurant, sports bar type of thing.
Can you imagine playing pool with Dan and him walking around the table? Is this the white ball? Is this the white
ball? Oh, that's what I did.
Is that the white ball? Is this the white ball? Okay, this is the white ball.
Where's the table? There's a place over in Illinois, in Alton, I think. It's a big pool hall, you know, 16 tables or something.
Yeah.
That is not something that you, I don't know, see people do like they used to for some reason. But it's one of those things, like we talked about bowling. Once you do it, you go, how come I haven't done this for a while? It's fun.
This one here, the owner's wife apparently plays pool, and they're both big pool players. And they have trophies and plaques all over on the wall from pool tournaments that they've gotten into. But it was fun. So we ended up playing, because you pay a dollar, you know, so we had six balls left. So we ended up playing six ball instead of nine ball.
Cheapskate.
Yeah, I know. And then we did that another time after we put a dollar in. We had three balls left, so then we played three ball. To get our money's worth.
Only Dan would think that's really funny. Hey, get a big kick out of that.
Hey, anybody want to play a game of one ball?
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Anybody else?
I do.
All right. Folks, a guy who, and I hope he doesn't mind if I do this, we may have a real big positive announcement Monday that involves Tim Woodburn. That's all I'll say. If I just say we have a big announcement, people will think, oh, he's leaving or something. And then they get all excited and happy. So I just wanted to know that that's not the case. But it is big, big news and something I think you'll find very interesting. But for now, without that news till Monday, here with whatever he has is Tim.
Thank you, Frank.
Woodburn, you're welcome.
So Tim McKernan, who hosts the morning show on the station. Yeah, I know. He's a couple people heard him. Yeah. He likes to make fun of people who grow up in South St. Louis, and he calls them South County Hoosiers.
Well, I don't think that's very nice.
Well, it's not. And I grew up there, you know, and my mom was real adamant about not wanting to be known as a South County Hoosier, even though we grew up in South County. She went to Notre Dame High School. She divorced my dad when I was two, and he had to send her child support checks. And just to make her mad, he would always write Lemay, Missouri, on the even though we didn't live in Lemay, because Lemay is associated with Hoosierdom, right? And so, I mean, I grew up right on the border of Lemay, but I grew up Reeves Barracks Road and Lemay Ferry, and Lemay is just a couple blocks away from there, so I technically wasn't in Lemay. My dad loved to traumatize her with 18 years of child support checks.
Yeah.
So, a buddy of mine, though, has a sister, and he lived closer to the Lemay border, but it was right there on the border, you know, right there on the border. And here is how I know what the difference is between a South County Hoosier and someone who's not a South County Hoosier. First of all, his sister was a stripper.
Hmm.
And I went to school with this guy. His sister was a stripper.
Was she a stripper while you went to school?
Well, yeah.
How would she have been?
She was a couple years younger than us. No, not while I went to school with him. But I mean, like, you know, we were in the same school together. It was grade school. So she was a stripper for a while.
How'd you find out she was a stripper?
He told me.
Okay. Proudly or like just embarrassed?
They lived together. You know, their mom passed and the dad moved out and the two of them kind of grew up themselves and she supported herself that way. So, She just sent me a, I'm not good friends with this girl, but she sent me a Facebook solicitation to buy some tickets to some event she's helping co-sponsor involving bikers, whatever. It's not my deal, right? But I was looking at the last time this girl sent something out to me, and this is my buddy's sister. She had, this is the definition of a South County Hoosier. Okay, so okay. There are.
I like the Jeff Foxworth, you know you're a redneck when.
Right, well, you know you're a trashy South County Hoosier when you have a miscarriage. And you put a picture of that baby's on your Facebook page with a sweater that you knitted for it and asked for money to help.
Well, hold on. Well, hold on.
Yeah.
When you say a picture of the...
I mean, like the
blob of stuff?
The brown...
Daniel Strauss.
The brown six-month-old, born 3-month-old, way too early, miscarried baby. She knit a sweater for it and then put a picture of it on Facebook and asked for money to help.
She put a sweater on a fetus.
Correct.
Oh, well, that she needs a psychiatrist.
Wow.
Yep.
Right.
She needs mental health.
Did you see the picture?
Yeah.
Could you make out? I mean, was it late enough that you could tell if
it was brown?
Boy or girl?
She's white girl. It was brown, and it was you really couldn't see where the eyes and the nose and the mouth.
Oh my goodness! She knitted the sweater after the miscarriage
and put it on it. And then put it on Facebook.
And what is it people are supposed to be paying for?
Help with the funeral expenses for it.
Oh, wait. How long did she hold on to this baby?
Well, she... less than 3 months.
Well, I know.
No, he means after the miscarriage.
I don't know.
Just long enough to take a picture.
I just remember seeing it on her Facebook page.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's deranged.
Then, yeah.
No, that actually is deranged. My wife had a miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
I know what that looks like.
Yeah. This girl creeps me out. You know, most strippers,
no kidding.
Most strippers don't creep me out. This one does.
First
of all, funeral expenses. We didn't have a funeral when my wife had a miscarriage. In fact, we didn't talk about it.
I know.
You don't have
I know. No. I know.
Different times,
see, that,
Frank.
That just screams scam and scam because there is no funeral.
Right. You don't have a service for that.
No. They just want money.
That screams for a need for attention is what that screams
for. Right. Oh.
She had to have done this in the hospital because you can't take that home with you, right?
No.
In our case, it wasn't at home. She had the miscarriage at home.
Oh, well.
Wow. And I'm going to tell you something. It's plastic in the car seats and off to the hospital, and it's a mess. And lots of women have that happen, and then after that, we were able to have another perfectly healthy child. And years ago, somebody said something that makes great sense to me. It's nature's way of eliminating something that was wrong. And, you know, when people go, I can't believe I lost the baby, it's a blessing, because had it lived, there would have been serious, serious complications.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your body's way of getting rid of something that's not right.
I'm on her Facebook page now. She doesn't have the picture up anymore.
Surprised Facebook would allow that picture.
Yeah, maybe they did take it down.
They may have taken it down, because that's just something that, to me, once they know it, they got to pull. Yeah, you got to pull that.
No, I've never heard. And I grew up in North County in Florissant. I've never heard anybody call South County Hoosiers. I've always heard.
Well, I have.
I've always heard South City Hoosiers.
I've heard both.
Do you remember my first week? I think it was actually one of the first things I said in the Burke segment was South County white trash. And I got a couple of emails about that.
You should have, because there are a lot of people in South County who are wonderful people. They're not white trash.
I retract that statement.
That was back when you were stupid.
It was.
And you didn't know what you were doing.
I was fresh.
Yeah, you're lucky you still were able to keep your job here. anything else?
No.
Anybody else? No.
I don't really have anything for the Burke segment, but I do have a
question. Well, then we need to close the Burke segment. Burke segment is a close.
Is a close.
What's your question?
It's a close.
I've had a listener text over and says he's going to be busy or occupied during Scott Sherman's segment. Wants to know if he can email over a question, if that's okay. I told him to email either yourself.
Like, he could text a question.
Yeah, or text a question, if you will, or email Scott directly. So I just wanted to let.
I think the best thing
cool
is the text.
Yeah.
So it's the 855 number.
Yeah. Sure.
What's his name?
Don't have a name, unfortunately.
Shoot him back a reply and just say during the next break. Just shoot him a text your question to 855-282-8255.
All right. And,
we can do that.
Cool.
We can do that. Anything else? Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. I broke the law today.
Nice.
And, I did.
And the law won?
I broke the law and the law won. I told these guys at lunch, we had a lunch, actually had a lunch, all of us together. We've never done that.
Never done that.
And I prefer that we never do it again. So on the way to lunch, I'm headed on Olive, and I'm going east, and I'm on the west side of 270. Once I crossed, I didn't mean to cross 270. I wanted to get off and go south, but I missed the exit. So
that's unlike you.
Yeah. So the next stoplight, because they know that if you miss that exit on the south, you're going to want to flip around at the very next intersection. So, of course, no U-turn. It's very clear. And I've done this before. I'm not condoning it, encouraging it, but I looked all around, left, right, behind me, in front of me. As soon as the light turned, I did a U-turn right there where it said no U-turn. And then for the next mile, I'm just looking in my rearview mirror because I'm thinking right. There might have been a cop a block away that I couldn't see. So I got away with it, and everyone in this room and everybody listening has done this. No left turn, but you don't see anybody, so you just make
I
the
have
left.
Never done no, that.
Oh, come on.
I have never done that. No, rules of the road.
Well, you're not normal.
Never done a U-turn?
No, you never. You've never.
No, I've done a U-turn, but I've never like turned left and it says don't turn left.
Oh
no,
sure you.
And it's incredibly illegal.
Well, of course it is.
Incredibly.
You want to hear a good? You want to hear what I think is a good story?
Can
about,
you make it last till six? Because we got nothing to talk about. Go ahead.
Learning the lesson the hard way about how to deal with a cop on a traffic stop. Probably the last 10 times I've been pulled over or had a cop approach my vehicle as a private investigator for, because people get called for a suspicious vehicle, you know, they want to come up to you. But even the times I've been pulled over for speeding or running the light, or probably, I don't know, 5 times, probably once a year I get pulled over. And most of the times I'll get out of it if I have both hands on the wheel and have my ID and insurance in my card, both hands on the wheel so the cop can see your hands and the whole bit.
Right.
Apologize to the cop right away. I know exactly what I did. Sir, I'm sorry. I was distracted. I was following somebody, that kind of thing. Politeness, not every time, but 4 out of 5 times, you know, apologetic, you're showing the cop respect and the whole
thing. I agree.
I made the mistake of going the opposite end of that spectrum when I got pulled over at 255 and Telegraph, coming off of southbound 270 and Telegraph, and I was... And there's a light right there, and double left turn lane, and it was yellow. Maybe it was orange. And
you were right. It's 255 there at Telegram.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I make the double left-hand turn, and a cop pulls me over for running a red light right away. Lit me up right away. He was on Telegraph facing eastbound, and I made that left turn. He lights me up right away and pulls me over. And I'm late for somewhere, and I'm aggravated. I can't believe I'm getting pulled. I know exactly. I know because I wasn't speeding. And because I had my brakes on, and then I made the decision at the last minute to go through the light. You know, so I know I wasn't flying through there at 50 miles an hour, so I know I wasn't speeding. I knew there was only one reason why he would have pulled me over. He walks up to my car. He goes, "You know why I pulled you over?" I said, "Yeah, you pulled me over for running a yellow light." And he goes, "No, sir, it was red." I said, "No, it wasn't."
I said,
"No, it wasn't."
Bad, a big mistake.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't red. It was yellow. I know it was yellow, and that's ridiculous. I said, "You know, I mean, I was just this was a bad mood."
I would have thrown you in jail.
I said, seriously. I said, "You got nothing better to do than to pull people over."
You said that.
Yellow. I mean, I was because the guy was. He had his ticket book out. I don't know if he's going to write me. He went back to his car. I'm not telling the story very well. Do you know why I pulled you over? No, sir, I don't. Well, you ran a red light, and I initially didn't argue with him, and he got my license, my insurance. He goes back. I said, all I said to him was, "Sir, I thought the light was yellow." So he goes back to his car. Now he's coming back with a ticket. Now I'm mad. I mistold the story. Now I'm mad. Now I see he's giving me a ticket. I said, "Let me tell you something, pal." I said, "The light wasn't red. It was yellow." I said, "I can't believe you don't have anything better to do than to write me a ticket for running a yellow light when there's people out here, you know, doing all kinds of crazy zany things."
Yeah, he's being cuffed right now.
And he's like, "Sir, the light was red." I said, "Sir, it wasn't red. It was yellow. I know it was yellow." And he goes, "Well, let me tell you something." I said, "Let me tell you something, officer." I said, "I'll take the ticket or I'll take the lecture, but I ain't taking both." And he said, "Wait right here."
Uh-huh.
And he walked back to his car and wrote me 2 more tickets.
Good.
For reckless driving and something, and walks up to my car, doesn't even get to my window. He gets to my back window and throws them backhand style so that they fly through the car.
Good.
And landed on my lap. And then took off, and I had to end up paying fines on three tickets.
And here's the lesson for everybody. Yeah. Here's the lesson. Shut your pie hole.
You got that right. And that, you know, you don't learn a lesson unless you learn a lesson the hard way.
That's right.
And that was my hard-learned lesson about 10 years ago, and I have been the most polite individual to cops ever since that happened.
I say something, and when I say this, people with teenage kids who are starting to drive, they think it's awful when I say this. And I say the best thing that can happen to your kids if they're driving is for them to be in an accident. Don't want them to get hurt. But the sound of that glass breaking and metal crunching and it's your parents' car, now you get the message. You can talk all you want to kids about, hey, slow down, don't run turn light, blah, blah, blah. But when they're in an accident, and again, I don't want anybody to get hurt, but it worked for me. I was 17. I've been driving a year and just tore my dad's car up. It was my fault. That's the day I got it. I really did understand that I don't want to get in a wreck.
Do you remember the day when, and you grew up in a small town, know this, my dad said this happened to him in like Wentzville before Wentzville got big, actually west of Wentzville, where cops would pull you over and they'd take and they'd want the money right then and there on the spot.
Illinois.
I've never had that.
Illinois happen. Was like that. If you were out of state, you'd sounds have to pay right away.
Can't possibly be anything more than guy wants to pocket some cash.
No, if it was like 25 miles an hour or over, like if it was a big deal where it's going to be a big ticket, you had to like post a bond or you had to pay some kind of money before your court date. And if you didn't have it on you, they took you to jail and you had to have somebody bring it to you. In the car with my ex-stepmother and two of my siblings who were on babies at the time, and this happened to him. He was doing like a 95 and a 40 or something ridiculous. And they pulled him over. And they took him to jail. And my ex-stepmom had to go to the house and get some money and go back there and get him. Like, they didn't cuff him or anything like that, but they made him sit there until he posted money to release him. This had to have happened. This was in the 80s, because my brothers were born in the 80s.
Yeah, and Illinois used to do that. If you were a Missouri driver and you would get caught speeding or whatever in Illinois, they would say, you have to pay the ticket right now. Because
I've never
Illinois did that, and then unless you could have a bond number on your license, and a lot of the people at
like 007,
Illinois, bond, 007 number, or they could call and get a judge's approval to let you go and write you the ticket, and then you pay the fine later. Otherwise, they could take you in like they did. What Tim was saying.
I wonder if cops tell stories. I pulled this guy over one time. You know, like we tell about them. Mm-hmm. I wonder, they probably do. When they're together. Not with other people, but just cop to cop. I will tell you that in your life, sometimes you'll hear a story, and for whatever reason, you never forget it. It makes an impact, and you never forget the story. When my... I'm trying to think if we even had kids. If we did, they were real small. At one time in my life, I thought I wanted to see if I could be a tennis player. So I took tennis lessons. And I took a lot of tennis lessons. And the end result was pretty much like everything I try to do in sports. Horrible. But while I'm taking lessons, the instructor had a Ferrari. Now, it was the Tom Selleck Magnum PI that read that Ferrari. Mm-hmm. And I'm just talking to him one day about, you know, when do you ever get to go out and open it up? You can't really drive a car like that the way you... He proceeds to tell me that when you have a Ferrari or you have a car that most people don't have, you sort of, whether accidentally on purpose, learn about other people in the area that have that. Oh, I've got 67 Corvette too. He said there's another guy in town that he got to know because he went to one of these Ferrari in the park things or what. So he meets a guy. It turns out they, I don't know, live close to each other or went to school, but they got to be friends. And so they're talking about best place to go to kind of open it up and let it go. And his friend told him that he said, well, I used to go, I don't anymore, out Highway 100. For those of you who aren't familiar with West St. Louis County, Manchester Road becomes 100. When you get so far west that there's nothing else left on Manchester Road, the last McDonald's, you just passed it, you just passed the last bank, now it's just an open stretch pretty much to Washington, Missouri. And when this happened years ago, it was a straight, and when there's no traffic, you're tempted to just... So what this guy would do until he got caught, he had a buddy go sweep the street. In other words, make a run with a right. radar detector and then call him and go, hey, it's all clear, man. Let her go. And so he tore out 100. He got pulled over and clocked at 140.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And he told this guy that I knew that he made the mistake of smarting off, like Tim was talking about, to the cop. Now, first of all, if you get stopped at 140, the only words you should say is, can I call my lawyer? Because, yeah. I mean, you are really in it deep. But he didn't. He smarted off. The total of his fines and his legal expenses, $10,000.
Wow.
$10,000. Yeah.
Poor guy.
And I can see where people go, well, if you can afford a Ferrari, I guess you can afford it. Not necessarily. That I guarantee you, and he told my friend, he goes, it's the last one, Highway 100 one that I ever made. Certain things just stick and work. And we're talking about paddling yesterday, and that was it, Georgia?
Yeah, Georgia, that's going to school out paddling.
School district, they want to bring back paddling.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes with some kids and adults, there's just only one way that works and that sticks. And maybe paddling is it. With me, it was at 17 years of age, running into the guy in front of me because I was going too fast. It was raining and I couldn't stop. And, I'm not kidding when I say I can almost still hear the sound of when I hit that guy, what the metal and the glass sounded like. Oh man, it was horrible.
I actually pulled myself over. I was driving on Gravoy and the light was changing yellow, and instead of gunning it to go through the yellow, I started slowing down, and then I thought, no, I can make it. So I gunned it to go through and the light turned red and there was a cop sitting right there. And I thought, oh, crap.
Well, you knew.
Yeah, so I just pulled over. Mm-hmm. And before he even had a chance to turn his lights on and everything, he comes out and he pulls in behind me. He goes, why did you pull over? I said, because I know what I did. I ran the red line.
I've done that. I just went ahead and pulled off the side of the road. Sure enough, whoop, he comes up behind me. Because I knew. I just knew. All right, before I forget it, I have to tell you this story. This is a great true story about me mouthing off to a cop. In 1975-76, for those of you old enough to remember this, and Limestone wouldn't know this, but CB radios were it. I mean, I've in my life not seen many things like the CB radio craze. Dan, do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
That was like social Breaker media 19, of the time.
It was social media of the time. Yeah. Right. And there was a whole language you had to learn. And what's your 20, good buddy?
Right.
And that means what's your location? I'm 10-8. I'll be 10-8. And I'm 10 this and 10 that. And hey, you see the seat covers on that car? The seat covers was the term for women. So everybody had a CB. I had about three. I had a Uniden and a Cobra and a Midland CD. It was a graduated step up and up till I got to the Cobra, buddy. And I'm gonna tell you something.
And you had some people that had base stations.
Yes, they had base stations, and the people with twin CB antennas. Mm-hmm. One was a dummy. It just looked cool to have the two antennas. I'm going up 270, and at the time I worked at an ad agency, and we were on the way to shoot some film for a public service announcement or something. And a woman from the agency who worked with me was following me. And there was quite a bit of traffic, and we got separated. So she had a CB, I had a CB, everybody had a CB. So I get on the CB, and I said, whatever her CB handle was, I said, hey, it's Bullshooter. I was Bullshooter. And I said, I don't see you behind me. Flash your lights. And she said, okay, just flash. I said, well, I didn't see him. You must really be behind me. I'm going to pull off on the shoulder, and you'll see my car. And when you finally get caught up, flash your lights. I'll pull back out on 270 in front of you. And as I'm sitting there, a voice comes on the CB, and the guy goes, hey, Bullshooter. And I said, yeah, go ahead. And then whatever his handle was,
Chicken,
he said,
I met him. His name was Chicken Lips.
Really?
Yep. I'm kidding. I'm giving you a suggestion to give him a name instead of saying nothing.
Oh, okay.
It's just Chicken Lips. Bullshit. Okay. Come back.
And he said, you know, it's illegal to just sit on the shoulder of an interstate. And I said, yeah, okay, yeah, I probably knew that at some point. I said, but I'm just waiting for somebody to catch up, and I'll pull out in front of her. He said, well, it's illegal. I said, okay, thank you. I sat there, and I still didn't see her. And he comes back on. He said, hey, bullshooter, you know, you're still on the shoulder. Are you not? I said, yeah, I am on the shoulder. He said, it's illegal. I said, you told me that before, whoever you are. And I said, I appreciate it. Thank you. But I'm going to sit here till the woman who's following me gets caught up. He comes on again and he says, look, this is, I said, why don't you mind your own business? As soon as I said that, whoop, behind me, oh. I look in the mirror, lights. He was sort of sitting back, waiting, watching me. And I, oh my goodness.
Well, he didn't identify himself as a cop.
I know.
He was waiting for you to smart off enough, and then he came and got you.
So
like,
he walks up to the car and goes, well, nice to meet you, bullshooter. I said, I didn't know you were a cop. He goes, well, of course you didn't know. I gave you a warning. I told you three times you can't sit on the shoulder. You chose to keep sitting there. And out came the ticket book, and I got a ticket. I will never forget that because it was... I think that probably happened a lot when people had CB. The cops used the CB as a way to you know, communicate with people on the road. And there was even that song, Convoy, C.W. McCall, wasn't there a movie about, a couple of movies about CB radio?
I think so.
Smoking the Bandit.
There was a CB radio play. And there were a lot of people who lost their savings because they put everything into CB radio shops. There were lots of CB radio stores. That's all they did was sell and service. That's how many CB radios there were.
Like Radio Shack, but back in the day?
Yes, but they were all just CB radios. And then when the CB craze died, it's kind of like the waterbed thing. The waterbed thing lasted a lot longer.
Yeah.
But man, when waterbeds were out, they were out. And there were a lot of closing waterbed stores around. And the CB radio places just... It was interesting how everybody had to have one, and then everybody got one, and that was kind of it. Because you really didn't have anything to say. Dan, you remember when you just talked just to be talking?
Yeah.
Hey, anybody out there, radio check.
Oh, yeah.
There's always radio check.
Yep.
Right? That means I want to test my signal.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, out there, radio check. Yeah. Anybody copy?
Coming in loud and clear.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Wall to wall, 10 feet tall.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Wall-to-wall, 10
feet
tall.
And then I would
sit
in the parking lot. We lived in an apartment. I didn't have a garage. I'd sit in the parking lot and just talk to anybody who was on the CB. And Dan's right. The people that had base stations, man, they were really loud and clear. And then you go and go, hey, what's your 20s? You go, I'm just sitting in my home. I got a base station. And it was just nonsense talk. You're just talking to be talking. And what's funny is it was almost like, whoa, I can't believe it. I'm talking to somebody three blocks away.
This is a dumb reference, but do you remember the movie Big Trouble in Little China?
I've heard of it.
There's that where, oh my God, I can't remember his name, but the lead character has got a CB radio. He's a trucker, and he's basically doing like a radio show through his CB radio. Like, was that an actual thing where people would have like, you know, followings or whatnot on this CB radio?
Yes, especially women who were on a base station.
Yeah. Really?
Trucker. Oh my God. Dan, when we were at Kix, we put our CB antenna on top of that 12-story gold building. Mm-hmm. That's illegal.
Yeah.
We had our engineer get up on the roof and put could we get out there? Hey, good buddy, what's your 20? Kansas City. I mean, it was like we could really pick up and reach. That's an exaggeration, of course. But, I even had one CB that had a telephone handset. So you pick it up off the cradle, it looked like you're talking on the phone, but it was a CB radio. Man, I thought that was great because it looked like you had a telephone in your car.
Right.
Did you see?
I see who's on the phone. And then before we put him on, well, I'll ask him if he remembers this. Ladies and gentlemen, the proprietor, the owner of a dealership where you can do exactly what Dinah Shore is suggesting. You can see the USA in your Chevrolet. Just make sure you buy it from Johnny Londoff. Hello, John.
So what do you think the time has been that I've been on hold?
I was shooting for like 15 minutes.
Oh, funny guy. Oh, man, this really makes me laugh. How about you all?
John, you still don't understand how this works. You don't understand how this works. There's a reason for everything
I... It works because you don't...
There's a reason for everything I do. The longer you see...
It really isn't.
The longer you sit on hold and listen to what we're talking about, the more you'll start to realize it's all nothing more than setting you up, preparation for when I introduce you. Because the CB radio chat, believe it or not...
That stuff might work on some people, buddy, but...
It must be working for you. How many AM and the PM people are you selling cars to?
Oh, don't start bragging, but it's the truth. It's the truth. But, you know, I think we're beyond the point of you introducing them to me. Now we're on the second and third and fourth... You know, these people have become like Johnny Londop Chevrolet fans.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah, you're doggone right. You're doggone tootin'.
Now, do you remember you would have been...
I'm on a roll here, buddy. I'm on a roll.
You would have been...
For all day. You've been talking all day. And it's a perfect setting for you about a CB radio because that was perfect for you because you could talk to anybody.
You were probably...
I guarantee your wife was tired of talking to you.
You... Well, I can't hear. You can't hear. You were probably a teenager, but do you remember when a CB radio was actually an option built in to the car? You could order, just like with an AM/FM radio, you could order CB radio, and it was built in and was part of your radio in the dash. And the speaker was mounted and hanging with the coil cord, but it was factory CB. You remember that?
No.
Okay.
Oh. Hey,
Well, they did. I don't think every car had them, but I know some did, and some of the GM products had them. What, Dan?
Richard is on the phone. He had something for John Londoff. And he had something for you.
John, would you like to talk to Richard?
Of course I would.
Let me get Richard.
I probably would be more excited than talking to you right now.
Oh, that's nice. Wow. That's real nice. Richard, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to John Londoff. Richard, John. John, Richard.
Hi, Richard. Hey, man. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. One of my brothers bought a new Chevy Cruze from you guys about a month ago. And my other brother... his truck for his heating and cooling company from your place as well.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right.
But mainly, you have terrific service and everybody's just delighted. But I was also upset with Frank about a problem that's reoccurred several times on the program that I feel needs to be brought into the light.
Well, I think it should be brought in.
Let's listen to this.
I think it should be too. What is it, Richard?
Well, Young Thug was arrested this morning, and you went on with your show like you've done several times when rappers were killed as if nothing's wrong and no announcement and there's nothing to get upset about, and it's upsetting.
Young Thug was arrested?
Yes.
Oh.
The harassment of rappers continues.
Wow.
And, Richard, one of the reasons that sometimes I choose to just ignore that news, I don't want to bring the audience down. That would ruin the rest of the show. If I start off the show letting them know that Young Thug was arrested, everybody's going to be bummed out.
I don't know how to do
it. When you don't mention it, it's almost like you don't care.
Well, I'm glad I'm glad that you mentioned it so that I can clear the air and let people know that I care just as much for rappers as the audience out there does. I do. For every rap song you love, that's how many I love.
And to all my knowledge, Young Thug's family and friends probably listen to this show, so I think that's just another reason to kind of...
Well, I want Young Thug's family and all of his fans to hear me and hear me clearly. My heart is breaking that another rapper has been targeted and framed and harassed. It kills me.
He was arrested.
Probably profiled, too.
He was arrested in Georgia on drug charges. They say felony drug charges.
That right there screams frame up.
Yeah, targeted.
They target the rapper. And I'm sorry.
I know it's tough. You got to fight through it. You're heading a GoFundMe page for him? I mean,
you know what, Richard? That's a great idea. A GoFundMe page to help Young Thug with his legal bills. Richard,
I appreciate that.
You for that suggestion. And thank you for the business to Johnny Londoff from Richard, your brother and you.
And thank you for
a home run hitter all the way.
Yeah, thank you for bringing some real humor to the show. It's awesome. Thank you.
Isn't that nice? Aren't you nice today? Thank you, Richard.
Thanks, guys. Wow. See you, Richard. Bye-bye.
Folks, if you think John's being extra hard on me today, his email address is londoffjr@londoff.com.
I was at on hold for just 5 minutes. And
so what?
It's a busy place. We have people all over the place because so many are AM in the PM. I just want to make sure we're telling so many, many, many more people to download the app. It's people that are like, they come, they're like, oh, my God, I just love you. And Frank, I'm like, wait, do you have the app downloaded? They're like, no. And, I don't know how to do it. They taught me. My sons taught me. People here at the dealership, everybody here, it's like mandatory. When we're doing a delivery and their AM and the PM, we take their cell phone in our little hands. It takes 5 seconds,
right?
Maybe six. And that's how we listen at home. I come walking in, after a hard day work, and there, throughout the entire house is the show going on. And there's Mimi doing, cooking, just laughing. I mean, to listen to her laugh, I don't know, she's probably got to be one of your top 10 fans.
No, I do know that.
There's thousands.
I appreciate
she's
that.
In that top 1,000. There's just so many people that love you, Frank. What's that like be loved by so many people?
John, it's difficult because there's a lot to live up to. You don't want to ruin any. They have expectations, and you want to meet those, but it's not easy.
That's why we have security.
That's why we have, the best that Hebe Heeman has in his team. Exactly why. So,
everything's good. We're here. We've been busy. I think we've sold, the goal is 300 plus for the month. That's the Johnny Long Duff Chevrolet, Frank Opinion, AM and the PM. We need to get 300 plus retail.
We will.
That's new and used. So, now come on, AM and the PM. Folks, come on in and snatch up one of these great deals.
But can we say snatch on the air?
I think we can say snatch.
Hang on.
Yeah.
John, I have to check this. I don't want to be pulled off the air. Hold on. Got the handbook. SH word.
Snatch.
Here it is right here. Snatch. The word snatch is not to be used unless it's used within the context of talking about pulling something away or grabbing something quickly.
No, Paul.
Paul Harris.
Oh, that was Harvey.
What?
That was Paul.
So, John,
Harvey.
I believe that's how you used it. So we're good to go. No, not a problem.
You got it, buddy. You got it, man. Oh man, oh man, you're unbelievable. All right, so listen.
Yeah.
Come and see us. We're here until you want to keep us at least 6:30, 7. It's just gorgeous. What beautiful weather!
Fantastic weather. I had white lightning. I got white lightning out today with that Targa top off. For those who don't know, that is my Corvette from Johnny Londoff, and it's the perfect day. Well, that's not, people know that. That's not shocking to anybody, but it's the perfect day.
We have so many phenomenal finance companies that we deal with. Ally Bank, Capital One, Midwest Success.
First Community Credit Union.
CRB, they're in town from California. Really, this guy is Mike Beadlow. He's in town from Dallas, Texas. And he called me. He's a Texas fella. A couple weeks ago, he said, "We're coming into town, hang out with some dealers, but we're taking you to dinner." He goes, "Where do you want to go? Where do you think I'm having Mark Beadlow take?"
I hope it's Annie Guns. That's what I hope.
Doggone tootin', it's Annie Guns. And I'm telling you what, woo-wee, am I excited. I'm excited. I went to Hendel's today. I'm like, only a salad for lunch today because I'm going to go knock it out of the ballpark tonight. So I cannot wait for the, And this guy's buying. I said to him in the meeting yesterday, I'm like, "Do you like red wine?" He goes, "Yeah, I like red wine." I'm like, "Good."
Good, because I'm going to stick you with a tab for about a $200 bottle of Silver Oak Cabernet. Yeah, wait till he gets that tab. Yeah.
So listen, give us a call, 314-837-1800, 314-837-1800. You can start everything online at lawnduff.com. Lawnduff.com, you can email us at lawnduff.com. You can email me at lawnduffjr@lawnduff.com. So listen, appreciate all the you do for us, Frank, and Dan, and
you pay for it.
I bought that, sir.
You pay for it.
I sure do.
All right. Well, as always, they're on the way, and you're open late tomorrow night. People need not forget that.
Tomorrow night, all day Saturday, and we pay a pretty penny.
And folks, if you think you're in a good mood now because of this weather, wait till you drive away from there in your brand new or pre-owned vehicle. You're going to really be in a good mood. So we will send them to you. Did we get your phone number yet?
Yes, 314-837-1800. 314-837-1800. 314-837-1800.
Okay, John. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Boy, he was tough on me today.
Yeah,
he was ready to argue.
Uncalled for.
You know how you're a car aficionado, and this kind of ties in with the car segment we just did? Volkswagen has just announced that it is discontinuing production of the Volkswagen Beetle.
Really?
That does not surprise me.
It's been around since 1949.
Well, in two different forms. The one now is not the one.
Yeah, no, you know who designed the original?
Yeah, Hitler.
Yeah.
He didn't actually design it. He put people to work on a car for the people. Volkswagen is wagon for the folks.
Not the Jewish people. Yeah.
No. Who? Wow.
Well, Limestone, of course not. He didn't want anything for them but death. Everybody knows that. But yeah, that doesn't surprise me because
not a nice guy.
They tried to. Well, that is an understatement. Hitler was not a nice guy. Are you kidding me? He was worse than Satan.
I take a slight clarification. They're going to make him next year and then discontinue him. So 2019 will be its last year.
But it doesn't surprise me because what they tried to do was it's kind of like when Ford did the T-Bird. And it just massive flop because they tried to kind of make it look like a 50s TV. It just didn't work. It didn't work.
But 7 decades, that's a long time for a branded
vehicle
to be around. Has any other vehicle been around that long? Has any maker model been around that long?
Yeah.
What?
How long has it been around? 70?
Since 49? That'll be 70 years next year.
What about the Mini?
Mini Cooper?
Oh, no. Mini Cooper had been around that long.
No, just the Mini. Not the Mini Cooper,
Mini. Is just the Mini.
It's what the Mini Cooper was based on. It's like the Mini is the original car. It's a lot
but
smaller.
That car has not been in this country anywhere near as long. Well, hold on. You ask, has any other car been? No. The answer is not that I can think of. No.
Do you want to speak to Harold before we get to the top of the hour, by the way?
We have just enough time for that. Harold, welcome to 590. There's a lot of tension in the room today. Maybe you can take the edge off a little bit. Welcome to 590. What can we do for you?
Oh, well, thank you for taking my call. I have a question for Limey. We're planning a trip to England, and it's about, English language. So I want to be proper.
Okay.
So the question is, what's the rule of when you use bloody and when you use bugger?
Okay, all right. Bloody you use in exchange for
the F word.
Bugger. That would be when you say instead of saying I'm trying to think how I can put this in a you would say, well, bugger me, if you get somewhere and the train's already left.
What would that be in our language?
Bugger me, I think.
So it's the same as bloody.
Pretty much. It's all on context.
Bugger has its own Wikipedia page.
Yeah. Really? It's another word for a sod, which that's a shortened version of sodomy.
Wikipedia says it's a swear word in Britain.
Yeah. Bugger is a swear word.
So Harold, you just cursed on the air.
Yeah, you did.
Basically.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you did. FCC
I don't really know.
Headed for your house.
Right? Twice you did.
I would differentiate them in sentences.
It's the term, according to Wikipedia, is a general purpose expletive.
Yeah.
Used to imply dissatisfaction or to refer to someone or something whose behavior is in some way displeasing or surprising.
Yeah, like bloody.
Quit annoying me, you little bugger.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, that would work. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
as opposed to bugger off.
So it could be a number.
No, bugger off works too. Yeah.
All kinds of ways, Harold. Yeah. You can use that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's an all-purpose expletive.
They're
I like
both
it.
Insults.
We only have about 15 seconds. When are you leaving? When are you taking this trip?
Well, thank you. In about 2 weeks.
Okay. Where are you going?
London and then take a tour.
Oh, very cool. If you have a chance, I would check out the Lake District. It's very beautiful up there.
Okay.
I wouldn't say
thank you for your help today.
Thank you, Harold. Have a good trip.
If you get out of a cab, I wouldn't say thanks, little bugger.
No, I wouldn't say that.
There's a lot of things you don't want to do. Be very, very careful. We don't need to be losing any listeners. I have them locked up over there. Scott Sherman will be in as he is every Thursday. Folks, if you have legal questions, this is advice that would easily cost you $200, $300, $400 if you had to pay for it. No charge. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Make a note of those because you're going to need them. It's news time with Tim Woodburn because it's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Larry Connors. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, and 590thefan.com St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
Good afternoon, everyone. From the 590 The Fan KFNS studios in Kirkwood, I'm Tim Woodburn. It is 82 degrees at 4 o'clock in downtown St. Louis. We're just minutes away from hour number two of the large morning show in the afternoon with Frank O'Pinion. News, weather, and sports headlines coming your way. And two traffic updates in this 4 o'clock hour as well. Here's what's happening. Heavy rains have begun to hit the East Coast. Hurricane Florence closing in on the southeast. Forecasters now predicting that the area that